And now for something purposely positive.
And welcome to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast. Brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. This is Tony Wexler, your host, and on this podcast, we talk about positive issues to bring positive content into the world.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Yes, the holiday season, where there's food everywhere, and we always end up eating too much. Well, we could probably rewrite that song lyric to say, it's the most fattening time of the year. But have no fear, on today's episode, my amazing friend Terry and I are going to help you navigate the holidays as we discuss gutful gratitude and eating for a healthier life. Terry, it's great to have you here.
Thanks, Tony. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is a really fun topic, I think, because a lot of people I know are going through that. And this episode will be going live right smack in the middle of the holiday season between Thanksgiving and Christmas. What perfect time to talk about, and I like gutful gratitude because we really need to be grateful for all that we have. You and I live in the USA, which we have, you know, an abundance of resources here and blessings here. I know we're going through a shaky economy right now, but we're still doing better than a lot of people in the world. And I know a lot of people all over the world listen to the podcast. So whatever holiday you're celebrating, I hope this will help those listening in to navigate that season and to be grateful for the food on their plates.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's my favorite time of the year, especially Thanksgiving, just because the presents are not the big focus. It's just more about the getting together and connecting with people. So yes. Love that.
And we focus on that. I think that's really where we can feel the gratitude from it. So I want to talk a little bit more about you and how you got started in doing what you're doing right now and sure. How this topic resonates with you.
Sure. It's actually been quite a lengthy story, but I'll just start where I was working as a social worker in a very high stress type of job. And I had a big change that made it stressful. So I was going from working like about 40 hours a week to, you know, 50, 60 hours a week. And after doing that for about, I think it was close to 4 years, I started having a lot of symptoms of like chronic fatigue, bloating, flatulence, chronic anxiety. And I was getting like allergic type reactions too, like anaphylaxis kind of things. And I was just like, what in the world is going on with me? So I ended up going to the doctor just to get checked out. And what she discovered is I had an underactive thyroid, is what she told me. And I was just like, okay, what do I do for that? And she said, well, this is the treatment. You need to take medication and probably you have to take it the rest of your life. And I was just like, you know what? I really appreciate you sharing that with me, but I felt there was probably a reason why my body was out of whack and I needed to find out the root cause of it, not just take a medicine to cover up the symptom. That led me to investigate really what was going on with me. So in that process, I went to an allergist first. She referred me to an allergist to see about the anaphylaxis kind of things I was having. The doctor's like, there's no allergies. You have no allergies. Okay. But there's something wrong. Why do I have to take Benadryl at night and I can't hardly breathe?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So I end up getting involved with a naturopath type of doctor, alternative medicine doctor here. And I discovered that I had food sensitivities. And what I discovered, what it was from, it was from the fact that I had a leaky gut. What caused the leaky gut? The stress of my job was a big one. In that process of discovery, I end up quitting my high stress job. Okay, which I, you know, looking back, I wouldn't have to necessarily do, but I did at the time. And I really focused my energies toward figuring out how I was going to heal myself. And I did. I was able to reverse my underactive thyroid. I got rid of like 25 pounds after learning I had food sensitivities. I eliminated all the healthy foods on my food sensitivity list. And by the way, they were healthy foods. They were things like coconuts and eggs and almonds and watermelon and cantaloupe and rice. I mean, healthy types of foods, right? After eliminating those particular foods, though, the weight just kind of naturally came off. And I was eating at this point. I had already eliminated the sugar from my diet. I had already eliminated the refined carbs. Okay. So I knew, like, why was I, you know, still retaining the weight? But it was the food sensitivities. The bottom line there, though, was the leaky gut. So I knew that I had to heal my gut to get rid of the food sensitivities. And that was the reason I was having those anaphylactic-like reactions, okay? They would have turned likely into some type of an allergy had I not taken a step back and said, hey, what's going on here? And doing all the research to figure out how to heal your intestinal permeability. That's what that's the medical term for it. And 80 to 90% of Americans have this leaky gut form, but they just don't know it. And it's the root of all most diseases. It's the root cause. This is where it starts. This is how arthritis starts. This is where autoimmune conditions start. I mean, the list goes on. If you have a skin issue, you know, rosacea, eczema, psoriasis, it's a gut health issue. People don't tend to make that connection. So because I got so invested and interested in it, I'm like, I need to switch my career to become a health coach.
Wow.
Then I got my certification in health coaching. And I was like, yes, this is definitely what fits me. Because what I discovered, Tony, in this process was that so many conditions can be reversed by just taking time to heal the gut. That is was such a wide opening thing for me. I had no idea. So I started telling people, I'm like, you guys, your arthritis, your aches and pains, your skin issues, all these issues, your bloating, all of those are symptoms. We need to be like listening to the body. And it's telling us something. We need to pay attention and get things in order before they exacerbate into cancer, diabetes, heart disease, you know, the bigger ones. Let's not wait until something big happens.
And isn't that what we usually do, right? Everyone waits until the big thing happens. And then they actually do I call it the Band-Aid method. You know, they cover up the symptoms. They take some kind of a pill for this. It's like every time you turn on the TV, you get all these commercials about this medication and that medication and this. And then they list the side effects and you're listening to the side effects and you're going, wait a minute, the side effects here are almost worse than the symptoms. So if we can find a way to let our bodies naturally cure these diseases and these illnesses and these issues that we have, then, you know, we're 100% ahead of the game. The problem I think happens is that a lot of people aren't willing to take those necessary steps. They're not willing to, number one, to learn about it. And then once they learn, they say, well, that's interesting, but I'm not going to give up my XYZ, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. You know, that's a really good point. I got a quick story to tell you. When I was 18, my mother passed away unexpectedly. And what she died from, she was being treated for depression. And she actually died from the medication that she was taking. it was being overly medicated for depression. But what I learned was, and she had all the same symptoms of hypothyroidism as I was going on the same path as her. This is a really, really important thing because she was only 38 years old. There was no reason why she should have been on that medicine, really, for medication for depression. Because when you have hypothyroidism, you typically have that as a symptom. And had they known at the time, I'm sure they would have treated her differently. But we end up losing our mother for this major, major issue where people are just taking medication for things that they probably wouldn't need if they would just put a little bit of the energy and thought behind what's going on with them, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to share that with your audience because that's why I feel so strongly. Like my mother lost her life because of Big Pharma just really saying, here's a medication for your depression, rather than looking at all of the symptoms that she was exhibiting, like the bloating, the fatigue, you know, that she didn't, she ended up getting cancer. There was a lot of symptoms that she had. So yes, it can be very difficult sometimes to change our habits, right? And take a look at what we're, you know, eating that's not serving us. But really, what kind of life do you really want to live? And do you have people in your life that you really want to live for? Like your family? Like for myself, I never ever want to be a burden to my daughter. Never ever. So I have a strong motivation to keep myself really super healthy so I don't end up in a nursing home and have to, you know, put her or in a situation where she would have to care for me.
Yes.
You know, so that's my big why of what I do. So I think it's really important for people to understand like what their big reason is, why you want to get healthier. Why? When you figure the why out, then it becomes easy to give up the sugar. It becomes easier to give up the refined grains. I had to give up coffee because it was constantly making me bloated. And that was my favorite love. People say coffee is like good for you, right? Well, typically it's not good for me because it was ruining my gut lining, the caffeine.
Right.
And it was causing my nervous system to go awry. So, you know, generally speaking, a lot of these foods that people think are healthy for them sometimes are not healthy for that person, especially because if their gut has been compromised by the standard American diet, right?
Yes.
The refined grains, the sugar we're constantly eating. That's the big thing, is to make sure to figure out what your big why is, why it's important to you to be healthy.
I think that is so important. I think in anything, you know, I work with a lot of clients in making a change in their life. So a lot of times they have to figure out why they want to do that. In fact, almost every time, if we go, I follow the method 7 levels deep, which is something that I got from Dean Graziosi. He taught that the deeper you go to know what your why is, so that your why is not just a head thing, but it's something that's emotional. If it's something that really resonates with you deep, deep inside, that is the why that will motivate you to make those changes that you have to make. And until you get that far, and that's where, you know, people like us, you know, coaches in the world, we know how to dig deep, how to go that one extra level that maybe you wouldn't go to on your own to get there. That is so important. So the first thing I think for gutful gratitude here is to start with your why. Figure out, you know, why do I want to change? And it could be something, it could start as something as simply, well, I don't really want to feel these aches and pains that I have all the time. Well, then you got to ask yourself, well, why? Why don't you, can't you live with those things? Why do you want to change them? Well, because it makes life really uncomfortable for me. Well, why do you want to change that? Why do you want life to be more comfortable? And it could go down to, you know what? When I eventually have grandchildren, I want to be able to go outside and throw a baseball, you know, to my grandson or granddaughter. And something like, so you've got to go to that deeper level. So that is so great. I'm so glad you brought that up. I want to do a little transition into some of this because I see two components going on here. I see on one side, there's healthy food and there's obviously unhealthy food. And that's that's pretty cut and dry. I mean, we pretty much know that if we pick up some food and we have to read the label and there are a boatload of things on there that we can't pronounce, these chemicals, right. We know we should probably not be eating that.
And exactly.
Here in the U.S., we have a lot of food that's like that. I mean, I was having a discussion recently about, you know, ketchup, for example. Ketchup, you look, and there's all kinds of ingredients, depending on which ones you buy. And then There's the whole thing. And then there's the argument over organic versus non-organic and so forth. But there's certain things that we know they're healthy. Usually, I like to use this. If God made it, you know, whole, it's a whole food, it's probably going to be healthy. If it's something that we had to process, then it's probably, you know, the more we process it, the less healthy it becomes. So that's kind of a general. So we can look at generalizations. But there was a second component that I want to talk about first, because it's pretty easy to spout out, you know, you should be eating more fruits and vegetables and you should be eating less X, Y, and Z, you know, and especially the processed food. You shouldn't be grabbing that donut for breakfast every morning. I mean, that's probably not the best thing in the world for you. Although Dunkin' Donuts probably isn't going to like it, but they're not a sponsor. Although my daughter used to work for Dunkin', but I do love their coffee. But I've cut back my coffee, and I don't use cream and sugar, so that's another good thing. I mean,
sure.
So anyway, I digress. We could. You know, I was going down a little tangent, ADD boy here. But what I was looking at focus on is that for some people, some things that are healthy, just like in your case, I mean, you listed off at the beginning a whole bunch of healthy foods that we would normally think would be okay to eat. And maybe for me, it's good, but for you, it wasn't. So how do we figure out which foods on that healthy list, you know, we should be focusing on eating and which ones we should be cutting back a little more of? I guess that's the first question I have.
Sure. So, well, first of all, you know, I would recommend certainly to get rid of the refined sugars and the refined grains and the refined oils, right? Those are like, get rid of those first. And because then you'll have a better idea of what real foods will also do for you and not do for you. So that's the one thing that I would recommend first. Okay, that is the biggie. If you can get just back to nature, like what your grandma or great grandmother used to make, a lot of that is real food, right? So your fruits and vegetables, and I wouldn't even care right now if it's organic or not, right? I mean, if you're just gonna start there, let's just start with real food. So that would be the first thing is to get rid of, and get rid of all the sodas, you know, all the diet soda too. And those all have just a ton of chemicals. Anything you have to read a label for, really try to limit that, because that will, once you eliminate all those toxic kind of foods or all the foods that have toxins in them, you're going to do your body a huge favor. And people just, even if they eliminate those foods, they can actually get rid of a lot of their aches and pains. A lot of the issues will go away, okay? But if you want to take it deeper, then you're going to pay attention to how you're feeling after you're eating a certain food. And like, for example, with coffee, I would get bloated. So I said, okay, I'm just going to skip the cream, because I didn't put sugar in my coffee. I was putting cream. And I would still get bloated. And it was not even on my food sensitivity list. And I'm like, come on now. I don't want to give up coffee. That's like my favorite thing. So I decided to do it for a week just to experiment. And sure enough, the bloating went away. It's really getting in touch with the body and how you feel after you eat a certain food. Okay. And sometimes you're eating so many foods at once, it's hard to figure it out. So that's where a food sensitivity test can come in handy. When you're tested for food sensitivities, they'll typically test you for like around 100 different foods. And then that kind of narrows it down for you. Okay, here's the foods that I can eat safely, and here's the one that I should avoid. And once I did that, Tony, I mean, once I got my food sensitivity list and I eliminated those foods right away, I still maintained my calorie intake, But by just eliminating the foods on the list that were still healthy, I lost about 12 pounds in 3 weeks. My husband did the same thing. He lost 20 pounds in a month.
Wow.
Okay. I know. And who would have known? They were all healthy foods. Eggs, we were both sensitive to eggs. They say egg is the wonderful food for you. Well, not so much if you have a leaky gut.
Right.
So part of that process was it was very enlightening because here we have healthy foods now are not healthy sometimes for you. But before you get to that point, like I said, you got to eliminate the garbage foods. So get those out of your diet first, and then do the because then your gut can finally heal. Now, bone broth is typically a very gut healing food, so you can add that. Coconut was is supposed to be a very gut healing food. However, I was sensitive to coconut, so if I just took that advice and started having coconut, it wouldn't have helped me.
Right.
So this is where like having even an healthcare practitioner working with you and like an alternative medicine type of person working with you can be very helpful because they can test for your food sensitivities. And what I had at the same time too was having a complete hypothyroid testing panel done, like a thyroid testing done. And it was a number of tests. And so that can be helpful too because then what they'll do is after you're eating a really clean diet, then they are also prescribing particular herbs that can be very helpful for that condition. So things like ashwagandha and rhodiola can be very helpful for those kinds of things. But that's where you're taking it to another level. So I had already discovered by having the food sensitivities, I knew that I had some form of leaky gut. And then that was what I focused on healing. Okay. And so that's what I would encourage people to do is to, you got to go back to the basics, get rid of the toxin foods. After you clean up your diet that way, then the next step would be to get the food sensitivity testing done and then work on healing it with the foods that can really heal up that gut. So you don't have to get, arthritis. You can be pain free. I used to have bursitis in my hip. I haven't had that now for years, years, years.
And
So.
it all comes from what we put inside our bodies. It's amazing how the bodies are reacting to that stuff.
They are. Yes.
We live in such a society now that where people don't really pay much attention. They just eat on the run. They eat because they're hungry, or sometimes they eat just because the food's in front of them. I mean, how many have gone to the movie theater and you sit down and you're eating all this popcorn at the movies just because it's
Yeah,
there?
that's
And
fair.
yeah, it's there,
Yeah.
and it's interesting how we live today. But this almost sounds like something from my former life, being an investigator. You have to go on an investigative journey. You start by, and this is what I did in every case, right? We're looking for the truth. Well, you start by looking at the obvious, and in this case, you look at the obvious. Let me get rid of this unhealthy stuff and start eating more healthy stuff, and let's see what happens. So
Right.
maybe you wait a few months and say, okay, am I still getting this? All right, well, now let's take a look. Let me try to pay attention to what I'm eating. I'm sure, do you ever recommend journaling what you're eating for your food,
Yes.
writing that down?
Oh, yeah. That was recommended too. And that's a very popular thing just to see how you make the connection with how you can feel after you're eating a particular food. Yeah, it's a very good idea.
And I think a lot of Americans and a lot of people all over the world really are lactose intolerant and don't really know. Dairy is
Oh,
something
for
that
sure.
we
For
love our
sure.
dairy. In fact, the dairy industry spends billions and billions of dollars with their Milk It Does a Body Good campaign. But a
Oh,
lot of
yes.
us, it's not really doing our bodies that good.
Actually, yeah, there's a lot to be said about dairy. I think, yeah, 70% of the world is lactose intolerant. And I had a sensitivity personally to the casein, which is the protein in the milk,
Yes.
Right. So I had to avoid all that, which was difficult because I live in Wisconsin and you
Wow.
have and milk everywhere.
Yes.
So anyway, I know that difficulty very well. And I want to say a little bit about that particular item. Dairy is very, very allergic to people. I mean, a lot of people have just a sensitivity, and that's one of the top allergens. In fact, they say, like, there's some practitioners will say, milk is made for a baby cow. We are not baby cows.
I totally, yeah, I get that. And I personally, that's I'm agreeing with that. I mean, it was, yeah, exactly. The mother's milk has all the nutrients that baby needs. And you think about it, you give it to the baby, you're not giving it to the grown adult. Even the grown adult cows aren't drinking the mother's milk, right?
Right. And the other thing is, you got to think about when you're drinking conventional dairy, right? So the cows, what are they fed? They're fed a lot of typically corn, unless they're grass fed, right? And what is the corn sprayed with? They're sprayed heavily with chemicals. And people think that, some miraculous way that gets out of your body, but it doesn't. It gets into the cow. The cow eats the corn, becomes part of the cow, becomes part of the milk. Then it gets, milked, and then we are ingesting it, and then it becomes part of our gut. And our gut is like, hello, we have a problem here.
Yeah.
I don't recognize these chemicals that you're giving to me. And then it sets off an inflammatory response in the body. And when you keep doing that day in and day out, you're gonna have some breakdown in the body. The body's like, I give up. I'm trying to keep you healthy here. Body wants to keep you healthy. So when you remove even just dairy sometimes, your aches and pains go away. In fact, I remember reading one time that the pediatricians who are in the know, they will say to the if they want to give dairy to your children, to do it with the goat milk, because goat milk is closer to the human genome than a cow is. That would be one option to get away from the cow dairy. Now, I'm not promoting, like, everybody become a goat farmer or whatever, but I'm just letting you know that that's an option. You could try that. And I actually tried that, and I actually re recommended that to somebody who was having digestive issues. And he said, Terry, that was the thing for me. I stopped eating cow cheese and did the goat cheese and the goat yogurt, and my digestive issues have been reduced considerably. So I was like, awesome.
That's great. Yeah, I read a book called The China Study by T. Colin Campbell, and they talked about that and how they would experiment with casein and cancer. And when they injected casein into, and you know, I hate this stuff that they do this, but I guess, you know, whatever. But they put the casein, well, let's just say that they did it to the cells too. So I'll use that example. When they put the casein in the cancer cells grew. When they eliminated it, the cancer cells shrunk. And they did all this tests and they found out that having having casein in your body will increase your chances of cancer. Now, you know, am I saying everybody out there, you know, give up your milk and everything? Well, that's everyone has to make their own decisions. And, you know, that's another transition that I want to go into now. What do you think of the term everything in moderation? Because you hear that a lot in the health industry.
That is a little tricky. Everything in moderation. I guess the thing with moderation is this. What does that actually mean?
Yeah.
Because does that mean, you can tolerate having dairy once a week or once a month or once a year? Like, what is moderation, right? So it's oh so undefined. That for myself, I'm like, okay, as far as if I want something in moderation, okay, maybe I would have, oh, let's see, what would I have now that would be like in moderation? Too much fruit, let's say. Okay, so in moderation, maybe someday I have 3 pieces of fruit, once in a while. But the thing is, when let's say you're at a function, okay, that's maybe a good example. Let's say you're at a function, you're at a holiday function, and you could decide you're going to have some birthday cake. Now, I would pay attention to how you feel though after the birthday cake, right? Because for me, if I were to do that now, I would get very sick. Okay, I would be like so lethargic, and I would be like, no, this is not worth to me. So it's really navigating those ways of saying no, thank you in those social situations. In the holidays, that's where people have difficulty, I notice. I have to teach my clients like how to navigate those situations because they just don't know how to say no to the mom or the mother-in-law who's made their favorite pie and but they, they're gluten intolerant or they're lactose intolerant and whatever it is, and they just eat it anyway. And I'm like, why are we doing that? Why are we doing that?
Well, an example that I give out is I found out, and I developed this later in life, an allergy to shrimp. I had gone to one of my favorite Chinese restaurants and had their hot spicy shrimp, and I used to get it all the time. And I went back to the office, and a few hours later, I broke out in all kinds of hives. And fortunately, someone had some Benadryl, so I took that because that prevents you from, I didn't want to go into like anaphylactic shock or shock, and I didn't have, EpiPen or anything like that, so I was fine, just the hives. But then I went to the doctor, and so it turns out that I developed the shrimp allergy, and it just was something that happened later in life. Now, if I went back and I kind of looked back, I noticed that if I was preparing shrimp cocktail, for example, and if I would touch like my face at all, my eyes would itch. That was kind of like the precursor to it. So it was developing. I had it. So what does it have to do with what we're discussing? So everything in moderation. So for me, going and getting shrimp in moderation, that's not going to work. But on the other hand, I am someone who went to a pretty much plant-based diet a number of years ago. I read the China study. I read a couple other books. I did a lot of research. I found out that for me and for my family history, with a lot of heart disease, things like that, that was the best diet for me. So I ad adapted that diet. But at the same time, when I go down to New York City, which is the very best place in the world for pizza, well, the Chicago people might argue with you there, but for me, a slice of Brooklyn pizza, you ain't getting it. You're not getting that anywhere else. When I'm in New York, will I get a cheese slice? Yeah, I'll have a cheese slice. Now, is it going to affect me? Usually I'm okay with just, but if I went back, if I sat down and ate a whole pie, which I used to be able to do, that would be a problem. Or if I had that and then went out and had a couple of milkshakes and then a hot fudge sundae all in the same weekend, yeah, that would not be good. But you got to learn, kind of like that Clint Eastwood line, a man's got to know his limitations. And
That's for
so
sure.
when you figure out what happens, and I like the way you brought up, pay attention to your body because your body's going to tell you things. I go to a wedding sometimes and they'll pass around the wedding cake. And okay, so in the beginning, I didn't touch it at all. I said, nope, I'm not having that. Well, I've gotten to the point where, okay, I'll have a piece of it. And well, I might not even eat the whole thing, just maybe a couple of bites. Whereas in the old days, I probably would have had 4 pieces. Oh, do you want that? I was that guy. Terry, I was that guy. And here I am, I was never particularly overweight. 5'5" is a little tiny guy. And I walk over, oh yeah, I'll have that. I'll have that. They called me the compactor at work
Oh,
in the
sure,
old days
for
because I could
sure.
eat everything. But what I realized is that was not serving me. And I made changes and felt so much better. But again, it's knowing what are the things that you can do a little bit more in moderation. And then I also like the fact that you brought up what really is moderation? Is moderation once a week, once a month, or maybe once every 6 months or once a year? And that's going to make a big difference. Tony Robbins, who's one of my mentors, eats a primary plant-based diet as well, but he and his wife Sage actually got him to do this every once in a while. They'll go out and they'll have a hot fudge sundae just because they don't eat that all the time. And if it doesn't bother him, then, you know, that's okay. Now, again, if it does, you know, it's all a balance. We can have gratitude, I think, bringing it back to gratitude, that our gut is actually telling us, it's giving us the signs of what to do. It's giving us the manual, right? Eat this, don't eat that. It's telling us. The problem is that a lot of times we're stubborn. We don't want to listen. So if we want to start eating for a healthier and happier life, start paying attention, start being grateful that our gut is telling us these things.
Right. Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's also about, you know, how many cuts do you want to have your body endure? That's how I look at it, right? Like, how many cuts do you want it to have? Like, for myself, I'm kind of like, no, I don't want any cuts. I want to optimize my energy right now. You know, so you get into, once you start on this path, I found myself like having a whole different perspective of what food really is and how I want it to serve me. So Dr. Amen always says this, he goes, love food that loves you back. That makes so much sense to me. So that's what I tell my clients. And I'm like, yeah, why are we eating food if it doesn't love us back?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
really.
True. That's true.
You know, let it serve you. So I can go anywhere. And if I see a dessert, I have no desire anymore to eat a dessert. Okay. There's no desire in me whatsoever. Because if I want a dessert, I can make a healthy dessert at home using healthier ingredients now. I mean, there's so many ideas for people. You can make wonderful desserts that are going to satisfy you and they won't kill you slowly.
Right. You right? know, that's the last thing that I wanted to kind of bring up in the discussion is that we have a very, very busy, busy lifestyle these days. And that's why over the years, we have seen things like, you know, McDonald's and all these fast food places and even the supposed healthy fast food place. You know, there's so many places that we grab food on the go. We've learned to get food on the go. One of the things that I'll even do, and I hate to say this, but especially when I was in my other job as an investigator, I grab food on the go all the time. It just makes it more convenient. And the things that are probably not the healthiest for us are usually the things that we can get on the go. So how do we adapt? And then there's the people who say that when they get home from work, they don't have time to sit down and do all this meal prep and do, you know, or spend all this time doing. What would be a good simplistic way to start getting the healthier food into your diet where you're not spending a lot of time and you're not having to live this, I got to grab everything on the go lifestyle?
Well, I too, Tony, was on the go a lot as a social worker, you know, and when I was super busy, I too struggled with that. So I completely understand that. And what I did is I found nuts, plain old nuts, to be a savior for myself. So when I travel, I make sure I buy a big thing of nuts. So it's like my favorite nuts are like macadamias. They're very low in carbs and they're, you know, when you look and buy nuts, you don't want the nuts that are in the refined oils. You don't want it in the peanut oil or the soybean oil or the cottonseed oil. You just want the bag to say walnuts, pecans, whatever nuts it is. You just want it to say nuts. Okay. So that's what I do, because a handful of nuts can be very, very helpful because they're so satiating. So even when you come home and you're starving, if you even have a handful of nuts before you begin dinner, that can be extremely helpful. Another thing that you can do on the go is get fruit. Stock up on your fruits. You can pack an apple, you can pack tangerines, grapes, all those kinds of things can be very, you have nuts and you have fruit. Baby carrots, wonderful, because they're so small and so easy to put in to take along with you. And that can be very helpful. So you got your vegetable, your fruit, and some nuts right there. You can do apple and peanut butter, real peanut butter too, if you can do nuts. If you can't do nuts, you might want to think about thinking about having your food ahead of time, bringing that with you. So let's say you're making food at home and you bring it in along with you. Let's say you are somebody who does like sandwiches and you can do bread. You could do, you know, a healthy peanut butter and jelly sandwich, for example, right?
Mm-hmm.
You
can I used to do that, yeah.
Yeah, you can easily do that. And for kids too, a lot of kids, the Skippy and the Jif, for example, they're loaded with bad fats and sugar. Okay, they simply are. So, and plus peanuts are heavily sprayed, right? So you want to get organic when it comes to the peanut butter. And so if you just get plain peanut butter, you can put that like on some healthier bread, like Ezekiel bread is a very healthier bread, a sprouted bread, you know, or something like that. And anyway, and then they have pureed fruit you can buy, and that can be your jam. And you take those three and you've got yourself a peanut butter and jelly. How hard is it to make that when you're on the go?
True. So it's about being creative, really.
Yeah.
And like we talked about in the very beginning, and we're going to come back to that, if your why is strong enough, then you'll find a way to do these things. And, you know, I want to just kind of close out with something that's nothing tastes better than a healthier life.
Oh, that is so beautiful. That is right. Because think about that. When you have a healthy life, you have everything going for you.
True.
I mean, your health is your complete wealth, you know. The other thing just I wanted to touch on, Tony, too, is my Crock-Pot can be your friend for the people who are on the go all the time. If you do your meals ahead of time with the Crock-Pot, you can have leftovers for the whole week, right? But if you're just taking time one day a week to go to the store and get some real food and put it in the Crock-Pot and let the Crock-Pot do the cooking, you don't, there's not a whole lot of work. In fact, I am not one who loves to cook. I don't spend a whole lot of time cooking. My Crock-Pot has become my best friend. And that's what I would recommend for busy people, is to find a way. And my rice cooker, but I don't put rice in it. I put quinoa in it instead. And it's also a wonderful, easy to make type of food. A lot of protein, and you can make it in so many different ways. And also soups are super easy. If you just buy the broth and you just put some vegetables in there, I mean, it's so easy. And then if you do the meat, like in the crock pot, you can add the meat to your soups. I mean, it's just being very simple, you know, getting back to the simple things.
Yeah, keep things simple.
And tasty.
Right, right. If you like it and you can make it simple, there's all kinds of resources out there. And I'm sure there's things that you can share with people if they were to reach out to you, which leads me to the next question is, if people wanted to reach out to you and hear more about what you do and maybe how you could help them, what would be the best way to do that?
Sure. Well, they can certainly contact me. I have a website at terrytotalhealth.com. So Terry, two R's and an I, terrytotalhealth.com is the best way to reach me. On my website, you can sign up for a free junk food cleanse if you want. You could ask me questions. I do have a complimentary consultation too, if somebody just wants to say, hey, where am I at here? How can I get started and improve? I offer that to people as well. So they can just get, you know, and I've done that so many times, and so many people have just done really well. One lady told me she didn't have to take medication anymore for her hypothyroidism, because after I gave her just the advice in the consult, she did everything within a month. She said, yep, I don't have to take medication anymore.
That's
so
great.
I know, that was like my light. My light for the day.
So check out Terry's website and reach out. And that would be a great way to start as we prepare to go into the new year and go through this holiday season. Terry, this has been great. I'm going to ask you the question I ask all my guests on the show, and that is simply this. What does being purposely positive mean to you?
Purposely positive means to be intentional with your positive choices.
So it's all on the intent, being intentional with your positive choices. I love that. That's a simple but right to the point. Great answer. Terry, this has been awesome today. I loved having you here and I loved the discussion. And again, I hope people will reach out and they can start their new year with gutful gratitude and start eating for a more healthier life. Thanks again, Terry.
Thanks, Tony, so much. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I loved it.
And you've been listening to Strive to Thrive, the Purposely Positive Podcast, brought to you by TonyWCoaching.com, where your greatest success is right in front of you. And you may be out there wanting to give yourself a gift this holiday season. Give yourself the gift of a purposely positive life. Download a free resource at Tony W Coaching, an ebook called Strive to Thrive, and it'll start you in the direction of a purposely positive life.